Okay, fine. It's okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Jim. We got you recorded now.
Okay. That's good. Thank you for the interruption to tell us to record it. We want a record of it. In this dream, and I'll tell you the details that I remember. But in this dream, I was with some brethren, and we were going to the location I remember. We were going to California, and I had this vehicle, and we were pulling an open air trailer. Okay, it didn't have a covering on it, but just an open air trailer. And we went to some brethren's house, and we were going to stay there until we could go over to the other brethren's house and pack up this trailer and move them out of California. And I don't know where we were moving them to. But in this dream, for some reason, we couldn't get our vehicle and the trailer on their property. I don't know if they were landlocked or whatever. And so there was a place across the street, and it had a gate. And so we opened the gate, and there was nobody home. We tried to see if we could park our vehicle and trailer over there, and there was nobody home. So we just went in there and parked the trailer and the vehicle and closed the gate and went back over to these other brethren, and we must have went somewhere with them. And when we came back, the vehicle and the trailer were gone. And somewhere along the way, we had picked up an old refrigerator, and it was on the trailer. It was the only thing that was on the trailer was this old refrigerator. And so we went over to this family across the street, and they had some teenage kids, and they were, just a young family in their 40s or whatever. And so I talked to the man, and I said, "Well, I need to get this trailer back and our vehicle back." "Oh," he said, "you will never see that trailer again. That trailer has this and this and this wrong with it, and it does not belong on the road." And it was like he took it somewhere and had it inspected and realized that it was not roadworthy and confiscated it. It was confiscated. And I said, "Well, what about the vehicle?" And he said, "Well, we can talk about that later, but that's got some real issues." Well, as we were in the home of this other family, we realized that whatever the agenda of the land was, that these people had bought completely into this environmental climate, whatever the agenda was, this family. And when I talk to these people, it was like I'm talking to them, but I'm talking to a zombie. We don't believe in zombies, but it was like you can talk all you want, but their mind is controlled by a spirit. And so I realized that whatever we would try to reason with these people, even the children were just all under this spirit that controlled their mind. And so the brethren that lived across the street, I said, "Well, let's go back to your place." And then we realized that we need to get out of here, that we cannot help these brethren to move, and that we need to get out of here. And the thought that we all had is that we must flee. and just run for our lives and get out of here. And the I would like to read a couple verses in Revelation 13 to describe what I saw, the spirit that I saw on this family. This is Revelation 13, and we'll read just the first four verses. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear. His mouth was the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And the one word that, as I read this, that stood out was all the world wondered after the beast. In other words, they were in amazement, admiration. They were in awe. Basically, what we're describing is we're describing a spirit that had taken their minds. And we know what that is. That is the mark of the beast, which means that the mind is no longer able to operate on its own will, neither is the mind able to receive from the Spirit of Christ, but the mind is totally taken over by the beast. And so whatever the beast says, that's worship. Worship means that you give everything over unto the beast, because he has this great authority, and you give in to the idea that who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Who could stand against him? I have to submit to this beast and this beast system because I can't resist. And that's the first lie. The first lie is you open your mind to believe that you can't resist the beast. And that's the first lie. Okay. And then I was directed over to Matthew chapter 24, verses you're very familiar with. And I would like to read verse 15, start with verse 15 and read down to verse 22. But in my dream, we, the brethren, said, look, we have got to flee. We have got to get out of here. And so forget, we can't help these brethren to move. We can't recover what vehicles were confiscated. We have got to get out of here. And so I want to read verse 15 of Matthew 24. When you therefore shall see with your eyes the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. And we understand that to be, he's standing in the holy place, church. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Now, when we say flee, we understand that this is not speaking of a specific natural location. However, in this dream, we knew that the place we were in, we had to get out of there physically. But when he says flee to the mountains, we understand that the reason that this family and these people that followed the beast were in this condition was because they opened their mind, they opened their soul to the mindset and the thinking of the beast. And they surrendered and they said, oh, we can't resist the beast. Who can make war with him? And so the fleeing, we understand, is a place in the spirit where our mind is totally given over to the mind of Christ. And just a few more verses here. In verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And we understand that these verses are talking about the urgency of the message to flee. That don't think about whatever's in the house. Don't think about your clothes. Don't think about anything. There's an urgency here to flee, and you must respond, and you must flee now. And woe to them that are with child, verse 19, and to them that give suck in those days. And we know that that's speaking about feeding on outer court doctrine, feeding on things of the world, feeding on things that are not the things of Christ. And pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Meaning, of course, that when the tribulation is upon you, you may not have time to flee. You may have already made your decision. And so, verse 21, then there shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, this is the promise. And these are words in red in my Bible, brethren. These are words that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking directly to us, directly to his church, and specifically directly to this last day's church, you and I. This is the promise. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And God is giving us a promise that Christ is going to shorten the days, and Christ is going to save his elect. God is going to defend his Zion company. And I want to go back up one more promise, back up to verse 13. We're still in Matthew 24. And verse 13, another promise. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved, shall be delivered, shall be rescued, shall be hidden with Christ in God. Now, what does it mean to endure? It's to abide and to remain, to persevere and to be preserved in God. And I believe that that was what the whole message that was so impressed on me. And again, in the dream, it was so real. I was there. These were real people in the dream. And it was a real location. It was a real action that was happening. And the thing that was so impressed upon us as brethren there, we have got to flee. Now, I'd like to go back to Revelation 13 for just a second, and I won't be long because I don't have a message or a word per se. I just wanted to share this dream and share the thoughts that I was having, and I would want to hear if anyone would have a response. Okay, I'm back in Revelation 13 and in verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? That's a question. Well, Brother Felix had us go back to the words to that song, and the last line of the last verse talked about the sons of Zion. So to answer the question, who is able to make war with him, the beast, the answer is the sons of Zion. The sons of Zion are identified with those that have fled into the mountains. Where do we flee? We flee into the mountains. We flee into the holy place of God in Christ, in God. And that is the overshadowing beyond the veil, within the Holy of Holies, within the holiest of all. And so, really, I want to again stress what was so impressed upon me was that when this beast takes total control over the minds of the masses, that there's a people who will not submit to the beast, who will not give their mind to the beast, but their minds will be sealed. They cannot take the mark of the beast because they are already marked or sealed by the mind of Christ. And again, the emphasis in the dream, the last thing that we said, we have got to flee. We have got to get out of here. So God bless you, brethren. That is the dream. And those are the thoughts that were very impressed upon me. And I really wanted to share it so that in case you would have, any of you would have any thoughts concerning it. So thank you, brethren, for giving me this time, and God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Jim, you said you weren't going to bring a message, but that was a message. And I find some of the detail of that quite interesting. Apparently, this dream put a great urgency upon your upon your heart. And I find it interesting that the main thing seemed to take place in what we call California. Mike, does that describe the spirit of California?
Yes, I would say so.
And California is only a small step ahead of New York. It seems, had a professor at Cornell one time say that anything that starts off that makes an impact that's new, it starts on the West Coast and the East Coast. And it seems to work its way in. Now, the man was not a spiritual man at all. He was talking about healthcare business and talking about the trends. But we're talking about spiritual warfare here, too. So I'm just wondering about the urgency, Jim, and the timing of all this in being brought to us. And I think that we should surely pray about this.
Well, one thing I would say, Mark, is it doesn't necessarily say that a specific location, that if you're here, you need to flee. We know that the understanding is to get our mind and our heart and soul into the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. But it may involve a physical location move, but that is not the emphasis. The emphasis that I received was we must flee into the Spirit, in Christ, in God. So just to clarify.
Yeah, well, even Jim, if this dream had been Washington, D.C., it would have been saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the mindset of of the modern political thinking. And it's the mindset that they want everybody to have. I mean, my goodness, New York, they're talking about outlawing lawnmowers and leaf blowers and only electric. And they're trying to make a law that by next year, this is the only thing that can be bought. Everything electric, no gasoline powered anything. They are really, really pushing, and it's not just the bad engine. That's not the thing. The thing is, it's the mindset of where this thing is going. It's this reset. Everybody has to have their thinking reset, and that's the agenda of these people that are gathering in Switzerland. This World Economic Forum. These world leaders that continue to gather in this place and making their plans for this beast.
Yeah. And another thing, Mark, was in my dream, this family that had so complied to this type of thinking, I was in their home. They offered me something to drink. They were friendly. I mean, these were not evil people. They were taken by a spirit. And this is something that we have to keep in mind in the forefront. People can be taken by this spirit and mindset of the beast, and they're not evil people. They're controlled by a spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle is not against people. These people were friends. The kids were nice kids, but they believed a lie, and they functioned under this spirit. And it was so, everybody of the brethren could see this. We said among ourselves, you can't reason with these people. Their mind is gone. But at the same time, they were cordial. They were pleasant. So the people that buy into this are not our enemy. our enemies are in the dark recesses of hell.
Yes, amen. Others have a comment? You know, as Jim said, when it says to flee, it usually means in the spirit. But when Jesus gave this word, if you read this this part in Luke 21, and I think I mentioned this last week, when Jesus said, here, let me find Luke 21 here. And he talked about his second coming. He talked about the destruction of Jerusalem. And in verse 20 here, he said, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let them not that are in the countries enter thereof. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Now, those who lived in that time, this is 40 years after the crucifixion, those that lived at that time, they remembered, he said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, I'll use the term, get out of Dodge, get out of town. Now, go. So there was a natural interpretation, which, if heeded, saved them from the slaughter that took place when the Roman armies finally got in there. I mean, I read you the story. It's not just like reading and saying, oh, there were so many people died. No, this was a bloodbath. And people had to take some of this literally. And I know that Seth used to preach this very much to us, that there are cities that are slated for destruction. Sodom was slated for destruction. And Lot had to get out of town. Now, he didn't want to go. But I mean, the angels just dragged him and his wife and children, dragged them by the hands to literally get them to flee. So be sensitive to what God would be saying. If God wants us, those of us that might be in a place that is slated for destruction, be listening to what God has to say about it, and ask if there's if there's something he wants you to do about it. God will guide you. God will direct you, but we have to listen.
Yeah.
Brother Edie, you're not coming on real good. I'll
turn this off. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. The part of the dream that I'm wondering is that the Brother Jim kind of is emphasizing that the people that they met were brethren, and they were, will I say in my own words, they were normal nice, you know, brethren, good attitudes, and, you know, from the face value, there seemed to be nothing wrong with them. So I'm wondering we need a lot of discernment to be able to know that these words have been taken. And maybe what are the does anybody have what are the signs that we can look at? The signs that will say that this people or this brother or this sister is so nice, is following on, so to say, but yet his mind has been taken. So what am I going to be looking at in order to flee from such a people? Just to, I'm asking so that we can look at, I can look at my response. How do I respond? A brother or a sister is doing basically, you know, it's fine, doing well, but that is submitted to the spirit. So how do I respond to that? Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, and again, you know, it looks like you picked the question from my mouth. It means they were brethren, and brother Jim, it looks like they also went to rescue them in a sense. That is, they went to move them. I don't know if I'm correct.
Yes, and yes, that's not correct. That's correct, Felix. I was going there to move this family, yes.
Fine. And then all of a sudden, a word came to them that they should flee. They should leave these brethren and flee.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So I don't know. Maybe something that we need to look at, you know, because you know, from the dream, you went to rescue the brethren, and these were very nice brethren.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, the word changed and said, no, these people, they are settled. Their mind has been taken over by the system. You will need to flee. And then, you know, so just to add, maybe we need to look at it and ask God to, you know, to bring a clarity and also an understanding on how to respond. Praise God.
Yeah, I don't know what happened after that, when we were impressed that we had to flee. Now, the brethren that we came there to move, I don't know if they just got whatever they could get of belongings and fled with us. I don't know, because the dream ended. But I would like to believe that the brethren that we came there to move said, okay, we've got to get the clothes that we can gather, the articles we need, and get out of here now and forget our belongings. And that was the way it was in Matthew 24. Don't go, if you're on the housetop, don't go back down. If you're in the field, don't go back. Just get what you got and flee now. And that was the thing that impressed me, was the urgency to flee and to flee now.
Yeah, Brother Eden, already the vehicles are lost. The car they drove and the truck. Am I right? They have lost the vehicle that he went with and the car. So right now, they were demobilized. They could not move in the natural anymore. So the danger was so clear to them. So to my mind, that's urgency in the spirit. That danger is locking and they are closed in. So the next thing was to flee by any means. That urgency had to come in there.
Amen.
Amen.
What comes to my heart, brethren, is scripture that says that woe unto them that are with child and that gives suck in those days. And the scripture that says that if these three men, Noah,
Daniel,
Noah, Daniel, and Job. Yes, they will deliver
only themselves. Only them.
So I believe that the Lord is telling us that this is a time that if you say to a brother, flee, and he would not, yourself, make sure you're fleeing. Don't lay back, don't stay back. Don't say we have a relationship. Don't say, well, how can I depart from these beloved ones, but flee. Amen.
You know, if I could add something, Brother Mark read out of Luke 21 and verse 20, which says, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And then the next verse, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. So the precursor to the fleeing was you recognize that Jerusalem is compassed about with armies. And if we look in the natural, that is exactly what it's coming down to. The UN, everybody, the nations of the world are turning on Jerusalem, on Israel, and it's a sign to us that the next word after that was to flee. When you see that, then it's time to flee. So I think there's something to that. The natural happenings of Israel, because as Israel goes, so goes the church.
You know, Jim, the other part of this besides flee, actually, I was going to be talking about fleeing from Babylon, from religious harlot.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to read from Jeremiah 51. But before I do that, if I get a chance, we'll still get into that. But while you're still with us, you were talking about in your dream was deception. It was a political deception, really, not necessarily a religious, although it did involve spiritual deception. But I woke up, and I wasn't dreaming, I don't think, but I was waking up with this little scenario in my mind, you know, as I'm thinking about bringing this word on the great harlot, which we did half of it last week. But I don't know why I was thinking this. I woke up this morning and I was thinking about the poor man who was brought up Catholic, everything that he was taught, he believed it was Catholic. Pretty much like Brother Shanique from Canada. And in my scenario, I was brought up this way, and I was brought to believe that 2 and 2 is 5. And I firmly believe that all my life. 2 and 2 is 5. 2 and 2 is 5. Everybody's taught me that from the time I was a child. My father believed that. My grandfather believed that. 2 and 2 is 5. The religious leaders taught us that. We went to school. 2 and 2 is 5. Well, one day I met a evangelical Christian, a born-again, spirit-filled man, and I told him that, and he said, no, 2 and 2 is 4. I said, no, that can't be. We have always believed that 2 and 2 is 5. He said, well, why don't you go ahead and prove it? I said, this is not necessary. Everybody knows 2 and 2 is 5. So I said, okay, I'm going to prove what is 2 and 2. So with one hand, I took 2 oranges, and with the other hand, I took 2 oranges. Okay, 2 and 2. I put them in a bowl, and I looked away, and I looked back at the bowl, and I counted them. I knew how to count to 10, you know. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, there's 4. Okay, something went wrong with this experiment. You know, it's the oranges. I'm going to have to use apples. So I took 2 apples in one hand, 2 apples in the other hand, and I put them in the bowl, and I counted them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh my goodness, there's only 4. I've always thought there were 5. Something went wrong. Something went wrong. We're going to have to try it again. So this time I'm going to take bananas. I took 2 bananas in this hand, 2 bananas in this hand, and I put them in the bowl, and I counted 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh my goodness, I've been deceived. All my life, I've been deceived. I believed what they taught me. I believed what these men that went to seminary studied, the ancient St. Augustine, Jerome, all these old great so-called fathers. I believed the lie, but I was deceived. And I think what the example here is what Jim is saying too. We're going to encounter people that are terribly, terribly deceived. We're seeing our politicians, people that are prepared to vote for something that is a terrible, terrible deception. And I don't know which way it's going to go, but I believe we're just about at the tipping point here. I don't know what it's like over in Europe. I don't know what it's like over in Nigeria. I believe we are really at a tipping point, and it could go either way. So, yes, there is an urgency. Why did the Lord choose May 26 to bring this dream to Jim?
Well, I need to sign off, brethren. So God bless you, and thank you for giving me the time to share. And I hope if you have any further thoughts that you share them with the group, and I'm sure everyone can be blessed. So God bless you.
God bless.
Thank you. God bless you.